wasn't on the prayer list, but you know, she had been there 6-8 months and no update on why are we praying for them? And so we need to know what we're praying about. I believe the scripture does tell us this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. I believe that's talking about smart prayer, being able to pray for each other, as Brother Crane mentioned tonight, for caring for one another. And then if you would, on your prayer list, put Guillermo's name, if you would, please. He will conduct all the services on Sunday for our Spanish church. And then Sunday night, when he finishes up, they'll be driving up to Baltimore, dropping him off at the airport. And he has to be at the airport, I think, about 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning. And he flies out of Baltimore to Miami and Miami to Guatemala. Now you think, well, that's not that big an issue now. But remember, Guillermo has his U.S. citizenship now. He's a naturalized citizen of the United States. So when he goes home, he has to have the American visas, the American papers, and he has to go through a lot on the other end. And pray that God will give him a good time with his family, a refreshing time with his parents. He's going, I know, to check up on them and pray for safety. Tricia will be going on with the boys on up a little further and taking a few days break and vacation. Pray for them as they travel as well. So if you would make sure that you mark that. Then do pray for those guys that are preaching. I'm so excited about that. Jose Velasquez is preaching on Sunday nights. And then David and Pablo, his brother, both of them are splitting up on the Wednesday night responsibilities for singing and for preaching. And so if somebody else is preaching in here next Wednesday night, you just know that I'm speaking in tongues back there, listening to the Spanish church. But pray for them if you would. Well, last Wednesday evening, we started in 1 John. We looked at chapter 1, the first few verses, and we were talking about being authentic. Being the real thing. I saw something that was a little confusing this week. I picked up a pack of lemonade mix. And here's what it said. I picked it up and it said, artificially flavored. And I thought, I put it down and didn't think much about it. But then I was in a store on the cleaning aisle and I saw a can of Pledge. And here's what it said on the can of Pledge. Made with real lemons. So I have determined I'm going to drink Pledge and polish the furniture with lemonade and see how that goes. Well, there's something to authentic, being the real thing. Now, you have your bulletin tonight, nothing to fill in. In fact, I'll tell you up front, I don't know that we're going to get all the way to what's there. So if not, if we don't get there, you can consider it this. You can go, a couple of the local restaurants now have these little things going where you go in and you buy dinner and they give you lunch tomorrow. All right? So consider this a doggy bag tonight if we don't get to it. All right? This is extra that you can chew on through the week. Join us if you would. 1 John chapter 1. Let's come down to verse 5 tonight. And just be mindful of what verse 4 said. Verse 4 is talking about that your joy may be full. Now in verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and the truth and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you can find something that you can write some additional things on tonight, we may get over to your bulletin, we may not. We're looking at the scripture tonight and you see some things about stepping in the light and God's formula for fellowship. Now that word fellowship, we like that word. It sort of has a nice ring to it. We're Baptist, and we think fellowship has to do with food. In a few weeks, on Sunday night, we'll go down to the gymnasium. On the 10th of July, we'll be having our tomato sandwich night. Information about all of that will be on Sunday. But that word fellowship means things held in common. Things held in common, or it implies standing together. Now, God's desire is to have a close, personal relationship with you. I was blessed tonight. One of our ladies came to me and she told me, she said, Pastor, I witnessed for the first time. And she began to tell me in just a compact moment how she began to witness. She said, I asked this person, I said, what about your relationship with God? She said, then I backed up and said it different. No, what about your relationship with Jesus? I like that. Now, God's desire is for us to have a personal relationship with us. Now, where we and God stand together on common ground. I like that thought of fellowship. We go back to the book of Genesis and at creation when man had been created and all was there. And God said it was good. And the Bible says that in the cool of the evening, God came to have communion with Adam and Eve on a daily basis in the evening. What was he doing? He was having fellowship with them. We could give illustration all through the scripture of those that had fellowship with God. Now, when a Christian sins, there's something that happens. And this is where our division comes in with a few different notes. First John looks at two issues pertaining to that relationship that we mentioned with God. And here are the two things. The first one is the issue of sonship. Sonship. And the second one is the issue of fellowship. Now, understand this tonight. Everyone who is born again through the blood of Jesus Christ has sonship. We have that relationship with the Heavenly Father. We have been adopted. We are children of the King. So the sonship is taken care of. But understand this, not everyone who has prayed and given their heart and their life and their sin and their being and asked God to save them, not every one of those has the second part of that, which is fellowship. And it is sin that breaks the fellowship. Sin will not change the sonship, but it breaks that fellowship off. Now, notice what John is saying here. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Now, there's some things I want you to take down before we ever get to the bulletin section tonight. John says the Christian who is in fellowship with God will have some certain things about the way we walk and carry ourselves. The first one is this. We have an open walk with God. Would you write that down? One who has fellowship is one who has an open walk with God. John here is not mincing words. He speaks of those who pretend to be right. Notice some of the things that he says. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, and he doesn't say we tell a little white lie. He doesn't pad it. He doesn't change it. He said, we lie. If we say we have fellowship, we walk in darkness, we lie. Now, John says such Christians, he uses some very strong words, the word that we would say liar in that particular place. Because he knew that when Christians live a lie, there's some things that happen. Let me give you a couple things that happen. If we have an open walk with God, but we lie and there's sin in our lives, there's some things that happen. Here's the first thing. We misrepresent the Lord. We misrepresent the Lord. That happens often in Christianity. The misrepresentation. Let me give you an illustration of that. I was reading a book, and it was called Honest to God was the name of the book. It's written by a pastor out west. And he was telling sort of his life story of how he came to Christ and different things. And he said, shortly after I was saved, this story happened to me. He said, I went to a convention, a Christian convention with a group of pastors. And he said it was a convention to help me grow in my spiritual life. And he said there were certain things that groups of men got together as a committee or as a board, they would talk about these things. He said, I was invited to go into one of those, and he said, I watched the man who was the chair of this committee that was meeting. And he said, once these religious men, these spiritual men, got into this meeting, he said, they had a discussion. And the discussion moved to a debate. And he said it became a very heated debate. And he said the debate moved rather quickly to dissension. And he said, I was sitting back amazed at how they were handling themselves and the anger that was exhibited. And he said, there was only a certain amount of time for this meeting, and the time expired. And he said, very quickly, they let the meeting go. And he said, they sent us all back over into the general assembly room where everyone came back together. And the chairman of the committee, who had been so angry and so vocal, stepped to the front, and the meeting started again. And he said, he stood up with this big smile on his face, and he said, oh, we just love being together in the Spirit of God, where the love of God abounds in everything we do. And he said, I just sit and scratch my head. He said, because I was just in a meeting. And he goes on to talk about how that misrepresented what Christianity is. Now, let me pull that over. Can I pull that over to something else? And you shake your head, yes or no. I need to know that you're here tonight. Shake your head, yes or no, if this has ever happened. The phone has rung in your house. And it is a very inopportune moment for the phone to ring. The kids are going crazy. And you're trying to get them off of the curtains and, you know, you're pulling them every which way. The lady is calling for her husband. Would you get off the couch and quit watching the game? Come help me with him. He's hanging off of such and such. And the phone rings. And this, all of a sudden, this upset person, whether it's male or female, picks the phone up and goes, hello. Just as sweet as could be. Well, that is a misrepresentation, isn't it? Well, when a person says that I am spiritual and I have fellowship and relationship with the Lord, the Bible says if we say we have fellowship and we don't, we lie. We misrepresent the Lord. A Christian, any length of time, you'll probably have some type of experience like we have shared with you this evening. Consequently, the misrepresentation of the Lord gives people a false sense. You ever wonder why so many people in the United States of America tonight are suspicious of Christianity? And folks, I'm telling you, it is rampant. I believe the answer lies before us tonight, because there's a lot of people who are sons. That relationship is there, but the fellowship has been broken. And oftentimes, we misrepresent the Lord to those that are outside the family of God. Let me give you another thing that also happens. We misdirect the lost. We misdirect the lost. I know Brother Hoffman and his family look at a lot of lighthouses and what have you. And I have a book that somebody gave me, a little like a coffee table book, and it has lighthouse stuff on it. And I was looking at it one time, and it's a devotional as well. And it talked about a lighthouse in Florida somewhere, and one of the lights went out, and the people that owned the lighthouse could not afford to put it back in, and so they put a piece of copper over where that light was. And it was not very long before there was a shipwreck off coast because the captain of the ship could not see the light. Oftentimes, when we say we have fellowship, we say we have the relationship and the fellowship, but there's something in there that breaks that fellowship, and we act like everything is okay. Not only do we misrepresent the Lord, but we misdirect the lost. Instead of living a lie, we need to walk in that open relationship with God. Keep short accounts. The book of Psalms and 139, David, if we ask the question tonight, how do we keep an open walk with God. Pastor, how do I do that? You said keep an open walk with God. How do I do that? We have to search, and we have to ask Him to search. Here's what David said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Now, here's a difficult thing to say. Try me. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Boy, I want to tell you what, folks. If you want to have an open walk with the Lord, start your prayer life with that. Lord, search me and try me and show me anything that's in my life that is not appropriate, that is not right. You see, because a lot of people tonight are lost because we have misrepresented the Lord and because we have misdirected the lost. I gave you the illustration months ago about light, but notice what the scripture says. It says, if we walk in the light, well, I'll tell you what, light reveals things. We had something happen a while back. I can't remember what it was, but I walked into the church building and looked, and there was a glass over here, and I know all of the glass had been cleaned. But the light had been off in one area when that was clean, and I looked, and now all the lights were on, and guess what? It revealed dirt. I remember telling you about Mrs. Graham, Billy Graham's wife. And they were coming from Good Morning America to interview them. And she cleaned and scrubbed and had the little living room perfect by what she thought. And her account of it was they set up the lights for the TV. And they had all, they came and cut the lights on. She said, I was sitting here and Bill was sitting over there. And I forget who it was, the Good Morning announcer that was sitting in the middle doing the interview. And she said, all of a sudden the lights came on and I was facing Bill and I looked over above him and my house was filthy. And she said, there was nothing I could do. And she talked about staring. She said, I don't know what he said. I don't know what the interviewer asked. She said, all I could think about was the dirt over in the corner. And all of America was going to see my dirt. Now, notice what it says. If we walk in the light. You say, Pastor, how do I live my life with an open walk with God? You have to walk in the light. The light, Jesus Christ, will reveal to us. And David said, search me, try me, know my heart. Other places, he says, for the Lord to look into him and see if there's any wicked way. Now, it's not enough to walk in the light and then ignore it. When God reveals it to us, we have to take care of it. And so if we're going to walk an open walk, and if we're going to walk in the light as he is in the light, then there's some things that we have to do in order to do that. And it is to keep close account and ask the light to reveal to us the issue. The open walk. Number two. There's only three things with this tonight before the lesson sheet. But number two is this. Number one was the open walk. Number two is this. An intimate walk with God. And we find that intimate walk in verse number seven. Verse number seven of the text tonight tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. A life of a Christian who is right in fellowship, right in sonship, and now right in fellowship with God is characterized by an intimate walk with the Lord. Now, let's talk for just a moment, if we can, about Adam and Eve in the Old Testament when God came to them. When they were without sin and God came, they were eager to meet with him. They were eager to talk with him. But the moment sin came, nobody had to tell them. The scripture says that they knew immediately that they were naked. And the second thing that they did, the Bible says that because of the fear, they hid themselves. I want to say this tonight, and I want to say it carefully. Do you know why church attendance is less important to people today than it has been before? Because some people, when they come to church, the light is on. And the light reveals things that they don't want to deal with. And when I say light, I'm talking about the Scripture. A few weeks ago, we talked about the Word of God being a mirror. And when we look into it, it not only shows us ourselves, but it first of all shows us God. Now, when we have this intimate walk, God came that evening and they were hidden away. They broke the intimate walk. Now, we could talk about others. Abraham, I believe in the Old Testament, had an intimate walk with God. A number of times that God showed up and he spoke to Abraham. Sarah wasn't side by side with him, and others weren't. We can look tonight, I believe it's true that Daniel talked with the Lord. We'll cover that in a few services from now. You remember that, in fact, Sunday morning we're talking about the gospel according to Nebuchadnezzar. But you remember when Daniel, the Scripture says that he knew that the law had been signed and sealed, and that he arose and he went to his house and he prayed. Just like he had before. Why is that? I think it is proof positive to us tonight that Daniel desired an intimate walk with the Lord. He wasn't going to let anything stand in his way with that. I believe David is another one that had that. I believe tonight we could even look at Samson and see that to a certain degree. I can't tell you the spirituality of Samson toward the end, but I do know this. Without human physical eyes, his spiritual eyes look back to God. And you say, well, it was a selfish request. Well, the Bible says that God was going to begin to deliver his people through Samson. You remember what he said there at the end as he was blind and being used as a beast to grind grain. He prayed to the Lord. He came back to that place of an intimate walk. So we have an intimate walk with God. The third one that I wanted to talk to you for a few minutes about is this. A dependent walk with God. Before we get to that, would you turn back to Daniel chapter 6? I want us to look at something there tonight. Book of Daniel chapter 6. And we can't read the entire chapter. I want you to write that text down, Daniel chapter 6. And it would be an excellent passage of Scripture to go along with the bulletin information this evening as well. But Daniel chapter 6. Now, notice verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse number 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So boy, they're searching and they're seeking. Now come to verse number 10, if you would please. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, He went into his house, and his windows being opened, and his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now, when I read through this and the rest of the chapter, jump down, if you would, to verse number 26. And I want to preface before we read it. I want to say this. No doubt. We live in a country that has tremendous problems tonight in the realm of government. None of us would argue with that. I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican, third party, whatever it happens to be. I think we all agree we're in bad shape, governmentally speaking. And I try to keep politics and preaching separate, but I'm gonna tell you this tonight. We're coming up on November, and here's my opinion. Every Christian should vote. You say, preacher, do you know what we got to vote for? Yeah, I pay attention to. God's given us that privilege. We need to exercise that privilege. And to the best of our ability, evaluate the candidates that we have to choose from and find the one closest. Now, remember this when we do that. We're not voting for a national pastor. We're not voting for the United States preacher. We're voting for the president. I say that because the occasion is there for me to say it. But I say it in regard to this. Well, my vote doesn't make any difference. What I do does not make any difference with it. I want you to notice the difference that Daniel made when he stood up. Listen. People think that government oppression against Christianity is a new thing. No, it's not. It's happened since the very beginning. And the government tells Daniel, you cannot pray. And Daniel looks back at him and said, you just think I can't pray. And he continued praying. They say, well, that's rebellion. Well, notice what happens to him. They had made this law. The king didn't know what was going on, and they made the law. And yes, Daniel was pushed to the nth degree on it. But he still did what he knew he ought to do. You say, yeah, but he got put in the lion's den. Yes, and he came out too. Because somebody went to the lion's den before him. That was the person of God himself. Now, having said that, you may say, well, preacher, how can we change government? Be the Christian that we're supposed to be individually. Now, look at verse 26. Go back to 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all of the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. What you're reading there tonight, Daniel changed the heart of the king. I believe the answer spiritually in our country is going to have to be Christians standing up, even if it's against government, standing up and doing exactly what the Scripture says for us to do, so that there is a respect. And now we see the respect of Daniel move toward a national movement. Darius stands up and gives a profession that God of Daniel is the not a living God. We'll look at that Sunday with Nebuchadnezzar. Well, Daniel had a tremendous effect on government. But number three, let's get to this one, the dependent walk with God. And we find that in our text back in verse number 7. But helping us understand that even more, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6 says, as ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. When we entered into sonship, into that relationship with God, we did so. We were appropriated that through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we were given eternal forgiveness, and we have sonship. Now, the second part of that, remember where we started, there were two things. The second one is this. We maintain our fellowship. We maintain our fellowship with God through appropriating forgiveness through Jesus on a daily basis. And that is our daily forgiveness. So we have eternal forgiveness and daily forgiveness. Now, what does that scripture say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? If we confess our sins, that's us. That's our responsibility every day. Now, I'm going to use another illustration, and I may double this one up at some point. I told you about that pack of chicken last week. Now, I just picked it up and threw it back in the freezer. And so we're going to have a church cookout. And I'm going to get chicken and fry it and bring it here. I told you that chicken had perished. And I don't mean the first chicken. I mean after it was processed chicken, it perished. Now, if we take that bag of chicken, which was basically slime, and we take a fresh bag, and we prepare it the same way, and we put it in the same bowl, will you be able to tell the difference? Now, I say that to help us understand this. Part of our problem with broken fellowship is we do not separate ourselves from sin. The Bible says if we regard iniquity, remember we illustrated this the other day by me going out of this building. And you could speak to me all you wanted, but there was something between us and I could not hear you. So the Bible says this, if we confess our sin, He is faithful, number one, and He is just to forgive us of our sins. And listen, I know it's hard for us with an earthly, fleshly, natural man mind to forget sin. But the scripture is very plain that He forgives us and He forgets it. And He puts it in the depths of the sea. He separates it as far as the east is from the west. But even after we're saved, we can still sin. And so it doesn't affect our sonship, but it affects our fellowship. And the only way that we can keep that fellowship, the only way that we can keep a dependent walk on God is daily. As we finish our day, as we pillow our head. You know, when you lay down, there are some things you'll remember through the day that you may say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't thought that. But there's a lot of things that we forget. There's a lot of things that we do that we don't realize we do. And that's why it's important for us to pray and say, Lord, search me, try me, and then show me. And then it's important for us to do our responsibility. We confess. And then I promise you, God will do exactly what He said He would do. He will be faithful and just. And He will forgive us of those same sins. If we're going to be authentic Christians, the real thing. And we live in a time where very few real Christians are known. We have to have fellowship. Now, you do have a bulletin there tonight, and I want you to look at it. We're not going through that tonight. That is all extra for you. if we're going to have fellowship. Now, if I said tonight, if I said this to you, listen, church service is over. We're going to pray and we've got a surprise tonight. Now, this is hypothetical. I better say that again. If I said we have a surprise tonight, we're going to go down to the cafeteria and we have 30 gallons of ice cream. We're going to go down and we're going to have fellowship. And we go down and we have ice cream and we sit around tables and we talk. And we have something in common. And that same fellowship is what God desires for us to have with Him. To be able to sit down and the things that are in common, to be able to bring fellowship. Why did John write, remember verse 4? For us to have the fullness of joy. For us to have the fullness of joy under sonship, we have to have fellowship. If we say we have fellowship and we don't, we lie. And the truth is not in us, and we will be miserable Christians. So tonight it's not enough to have sonship. Where are we in our stance with fellowship? Let's pray together. Father, please help us tonight. Thank you for saving us. But you didn't just save us to eventually take us to heaven. You did save us to leave us here in this place for this time to build the kingdom of heaven. We know that. But you also saved us for maybe somewhat of a selfish reason that we would have fellowship with you. You enjoy fellowship with your children. And Lord, forgive us for allowing things to build up in our lives that hinder our fellowship, our communion, our ability to sit with you with things in common and to enjoy the presence of each other. Help us tonight to sincerely look at our hearts and our lives. Help us to pray honestly, Lord, show me, search me, try me, that we can see what may be there hindering fellowship. Help us to have that restored so that we may be full of joy, that we may be happy, that we may enjoy the days of our life with you in sweet fellowship. So move in our hearts as you so desire and need. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand if you would tonight. Our hymn this evening, 597. Let's sing together, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Appreciate Philip filling in for Brother Young tonight. Pray for them. They're traveling this week. They've been up in Maryland. Their daughter and son-in-law that have lived there for a couple of years now are getting ready to move out to Minnesota, I believe it is. And so they're, where was it?
Boston.
Boston. That's a good name. I like that name. But pray for them if you would. They're sort of saying goodbye and spending some time with them. They'll be back in on Sunday. We're grateful for Philip. Brother Danny Maul, would you pray for us, please?